unnerving than a crowd of Alan Archibalds. It's the Jazzcast. Yes, welcome to the Jazzcast end of season special, everyone.
Yay.
Welcome to the podcast. This should be good. We've got lots of interviews coming up with Paul Kearney and Alan Archibald, and also Jackie McNamara.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but first of all, I shall introduce the podcasters. I am Vincent Black Lightning, your host. Sitting directly opposite me is Manly J Panda.
All right.
Next to him, we've got Mackie.
Hello.
And then we have Cowie.
Hello again.
And we've got Donald Markcock and Balatoni.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Are we all okay? Yeah.
Ah, fine, aye. Can I just point out that, remember, you know how none of us listen to the Football Ramble?
What?
They said at the start of the Football Ramble the other week, back once again with the Renegade Master. And you've
that.
Already, they're copying you.
I think.
They're copying you.
And they've got a Hall of Fame as well, haven't they?
Uh-huh. Ridiculous. Where is our Hall of Fame?
But yeah.
it's more a cabinet.
But yeah, the Football Ramble do like to copy us. So on that note, on with the opening question. Alan Archibald, Patrick Thistle legend, is just about to celebrate his 400th appearance for Partick Thistle at the weekend. He's had his ups and downs as a Thistle player. So I thought it might be, you know, suitable for someone to think about making a film about him. So my question to you is, in a film about the life of Alan Archibald, who would play Alan Archibald? Does anyone get us started?
I'll go in first.
On you go, Donald.
Well, you sure? You looked like you wanted to go there.
It's fine. It's fine.
I'm going to go with Chuck Norris.
Do we need an explanation, or are you going to give us one?
You don't really need one, but I'll give you one anyway. In that, basically, I've sort of thought about the movie as well.
Oh.
In that, it's going to be Alan, Chuck Norris, Archibald fighting Dougie Imrie, Chris Baird, and Colin Stevenson.
Excellent. Colin Stevenson.
Colin Stewart, sorry.
Colin Stewart. What did Colin Stevenson do?
I don't know.
Right, so
that's a sequel.
Chuck Norris with an early shout there, that's good. I went through a few sort of big Hollywood names, and one of the ones that jumped out immediately was Jason Statham. And I thought, he's probably not tough enough to play an Alan Archibald, so I tried to veer away from the tough guy image. So I'm going to go for, do you remember when Archie had hair?
Oh, yeah.
Brief.
Yeah.
Curiously, normal people having hair,
yeah.
Briefly.
Archie,
in the middle of his career.
Oh, yeah, he eventually grew it around about his late 20s. So Archie with his hair, I'm going to go for Ed Norton. And the reason I'm going to go for Ed Norton is because you look at Ed Norton and, you know, he's interesting looking, right? Okay. But as Ed Norton films go on, you start to think, actually, he's quite a handsome guy. Alan Archibald, as Manly J Panda, you were pointing out earlier, he's not the best looking until you look closely. So I'm going to go for Ed Norton.
Good man.
Who's going to go next?
I'll go next. I was perhaps maybe thinking on a slightly similar track to Donald.
Good looking guys.
No. Based on the
thanks, Vinny.
based on the kind of film that you'd have for it. Mm-hmm. What immediately springs to mind, I don't want to be harsh, but it's Sean Connery when he appears in Never Say Never Again. It's just a couple of films too much like Archibald's career.
I really hope he's not listening to this.
Sorry, Archie.
Good, Kimmy. Well, we'll give out your address later. Oh.
I'm so slightly scared of him.
So he can dish out a Chuck Norris-esque beating. Mackie, you're next.
I've got two, and they're both...
You've done this to me before.
They're both characters, and not... It's John McClane. And the one, the film, I think would suit Archie, would be the guy that plays Hitman.
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant.
That's the one.
Yeah. And we need to check next time we see Archie up close, see if he's got a barcode back in his head. Okay, so Timothy Oliphant and Bruce Willis, John McClane. Okay, good shout. And Manly J. Panda.
Well, I want you to picture this. I want you to picture this and imagine a desert and Chris Erskine and Paul Kearney walking across the desert to this big palace. And when they get there, who's lied out on a big couch? Right?
can I interject?
Go on, yes.
Are you comparing Alan Archibald to Jabba the Hutt?
No. Ian McCall's there. With Jerry Britton, like, on a leash.
Wearing the metal bikini.
Uh-huh. And there's David Rowson frozen in carbonite. And who comes in, dressed in black, played by Mark Hamill? It's Alan Archibald.
You've thought about that far too much.
Uh-huh. Red and yellow lightsaber.
Who's the rancor? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I was trying to think of someone big and scary, but I was
Kevin James.
Jim's leaving as the rancor. Oh no, he's the pig guy that goes that cries because of the rancors.
Oh yeah, that could be him.
Anyway, after that, like, there's a big star battle and everything like that, you know, people shooting things and there's a Millennium Falcon, but I can't go into it just now. It's just an idea I've got.
Well, you know,
I've got like six films thinking about, starting with a story about his dad, but
there's a little known fact that George Lucas is a known listener to the show. So for that, I'm going to give the points to the man, the J. Panda.
Fair enough.
I think
fair
there's
much.
Something in that.
Yeah. I'm going to like the bit where they go to the Forest Moon and there's lots of Paul Kearney's around. Eat your llama.
I really hope that people who are listening to this have seen Star Wars.
Seen what? What now?
Well done, the panda.
Thank
good
you
for
much.
You. Good for you. Yeah, so as I said, it is Alan Archibald's 400th appearance this weekend. So I'm just going to nip round the group here and ask you to maybe think about some of your favourite Archie moments. It could be an Archie goal. It could be an Archie moment. It could be an Archie headbutt. Anyone want to come in early? Manly J. Panda, look at this, he's non-stop. Back to you, sir.
Mine is much like my film idea in that it didn't happen. But it's something that's, you know, something I'll always remember about Archibald. Because I think we forget just how good he was. Like back in the day, like 2001, 2002, that season, the season we got promoted from the First Division, and subsequent to that as well, before he moved to Dundee United, in fact, he was a really, really top defender. And the thing that never happened that I remember is once I was playing our favourite football game of all time, Championship Manager, and
0102.
I wasn't Partick Thistle in it, I was Rushton and Diamonds. But I was keeping my eye on the Scotland squad, and Archie got a call up for the World Cup.
Without you,
I wasn't managing. I was not involved. But Archie got the call up in the game, like in the simulation of the game.
Wow!
And that, and I was like, oh, that's brilliant. And as you know, like if you play a lot of Football Manager or Championship Manager for the old school guys, you do start to forget what really happened.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And for a while, I was convinced. Archie got a cap.
just on that though, do you remember the time you and I forgot like where Ian Murray was, and like we thought he'd signed for someone, like we thought he was playing in France or something like that, and then he turned up on the telly playing for Hibs and we were like, what? We just got reality completely confused.
Uh-huh.
With Champ.
Uh-huh.
So well, can anyone beat that
that non-event?
My one beats Chris is in it actually happened. It was one of my first Thistle games, actually. It was the game we had against Livingston in the Scottish Cup. I think it was Ian McCall's first season when he scored the winning penalty. Having gone to effectively sudden death, and the whole Jackie Husbandstand just belting out Archie, 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 Archie.
Wonderful.
Brilliant moment. One of the last times that Thistle fans have, well, aside to Ibrox, when Thistle fans have generally been together and celebrating on quite that scale.
Excellent, excellent. That's a really good shout, Cowie. Mackie, any goals that stand out for you?
He's right foot against Hearts.
Ah, yeah, in the SPL season.
He scored two in the one game, and it was I remember it was a shot for the edge of the box to beat. I can't remember who the goalie was at the time for Hearts, but I'm sure it was equaliser and they made it 2.
Could have been Craig Gordon, young Craig Gordon. So anyway, but a right-footed shot.
Right-footed. I think it was a volley.
It was a screamer. And you noticed something on, like, the official site, to their credit, have really embraced the Archie celebration, and this week, and they've listed all of his 9 goals for Thistle. You noticed something that, although right-footed shots are perhaps a rarity with Archie, what was it you saw? Was it 3 of them were
three of
the 9 were right-footed efforts? So one of those against Hearts that really stands out for you. I'm going to go for another right-footed effort, actually, from Alan Archibald, and it was the first season where I started going to every game, every home game, and it was maybe the winter of the second division winning campaign, and Archie sort of cut inside and unleashed a right foot sclaff into the bottom right hand corner of the goal, and it was a terrible goal, and I think on the official website today, I think they're hoping that people have maybe forgotten about it, because they said although it lacked power, it made up for an accuracy. No. It was an awful goal, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I seem to remember, I think it was maybe Danny Lennon made Archie put his foot up on his knee, and was cleaning the right boot, because it was a treasured effort. Donald Mark Cochran Ballatoni, are you an Archie fan?
Of course, I've got the Archie T-shirt.
Archie.
That's produced by Edwin Reeska Scotland Supporters Branch. My favourite Archie moment is going to be on Saturday, after he scored 2 goals and beaten up Stephen Presley.
Excellent. Yeah. Why not? There's only one game of the season left after Saturday, so he might as well be suspended for it.
Yeah,
I like it. Okay. And just on that Archie note, that picture, that has to get blown up and put onto a banner for the singing section in the North Stand.
Absolutely.
It's a fantastic piece of artwork. Mackie, on you go.
It was one of my Archie favourite moments, but it was a non-Thistle moment. Right. It was the Scottish Cup final. I can't remember what year Archie was playing for Dundee United, and it would have been the only time I ever cheered a Dundee United goal. And it was a right foot volley that day.
Off the crossbar.
Under the crossbar in the last minute.
Crossbar. I was against Celtic.
So
yeah, well, it's so nice that we have so many fond memories of Archie. Even Donald's that hasn't happened yet. But
and mind it never happened at all.
Yeah, that's true. So well done, Archie. but we were honoured to be granted an interview with Alan Archibald.
An audience.
An audience, I suppose you could say. So Manly J Panda, you went along to talk to Archie just before we let the listeners hear the majestic event. What were your thoughts on the man himself, having met him?
He was really, really nice. You know, really genuine sort of warm guy, and like you said, yeah, a bit more good looking than you think. Is that a compliment? I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with it.
Yeah, but you think you are really good looking, so. No, he's just lovely. It was really nice of him to give up some of his time for the fans. Mm-hmm. So delighted.
Delighted. Good.
Over the moon.
Any more cliches?
It's a big moment for the young lad, and he's taking that opportunity with both hands, to be fair.
Excellent. Well, listeners, enjoy the interview, and I'll enjoy it too because I've not heard it yet.
I'm with Alan Archibald. Alan, 400 games coming up on Saturday, assuming you're selected.
Yeah.
Have you? What have been your highlights playing for Thistle?
My highlights, mate, quite easy. Make my debut in the three seasons of back-to-back promotions and the staying up were by far the best three seasons of my career. Fantastic times, to be honest. To go through such bad times, the getting relegated in a couple of years after that were dire, to be honest. To go through such lows to three tremendous highs was brilliant.
It was I recently reinstalled an old computer game, Championship Manager 0102,
right,
which is when we were in the first division, in the middle of the promotions. And I was just looking at your stats again, and you in that game, you're good enough to play for Scotland.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, certainly were. Are there any regrets looking back on the career, or you think you've done all you can with what you've given?
No, I've no regrets. No, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. There's nothing I'd really do different, I don't think. No, as I said, the dire times when we got relegated down to the second division was horrible, but it makes you a stronger person, I think.
Uh-huh. Because you were quite young when that happened as well.
So it was kind of my first. Oh, I dealt with a lot, really. We'd see the Jags, which was the start of my just breaking through. I made my debut before that, but that was my first full season. Was the Save the Jags, and then we got relegated, and then it was dire times. The club kind of fell apart a wee bit. We went part time, and we still had full time boys. It was all disjointed. It was a bit of a mess, but I think you learn from it. And it was character building, to be honest.
Yeah.
To what you have to deal with, and the good times that came with it, and then I left and I came back, and I thought it was time to leave at the time as well. So no, I still enjoyed it.
You that season we were relegated to the second division. I think during that season, I think you scored your first goal for Thistle then.
I did, yeah.
And you've scored eight since. Is that right? Nine goals in total.
Nine goals. My kids keep telling me.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that's pretty good.
I don't think so.
Well, so that's, you're a footballer, you're supposed to score goals.
I suppose.
What's your favourite goal?
My favourite goal is probably against Craig Hinchcliffe, now that he's on the coaching staff, because I scored a double against him.
Uh-huh.
Probably against Habs, to be honest. Right. I scored a double against Habs in the Premier League.
Have you scored three doubles then?
Two doubles. Two against Hinchy and two at Habs in the Premier League. Yeah.
Right.
Aye, just probably the Hearts one, because in the Premier League against such a good team as Hearts, and to get two goals. It was actually the day before, and I wasn't really going to play, and then I probably should have had a hat-trick as well. I think I had a chance towards the end, and I should have had a hat-trick. So they're probably my two favourite goals, and getting them 2-1 match. Not often it happens for a defender.
And in your time, thinking of your back on the whole of your career so far, who's the best player that you've played with, and who's the best player you've played against?
I got asked this question all day, actually. Thistle players, just in general?
In general, I'm just interested.
Charlie Miller probably was at Dundee United.
Mm-hmm.
By far, he's one of the players you hear people saying that they're two and three passes ahead, and he was. Mm-hmm. He was two and three passes ahead of everybody else. Thistle player was probably Scott Patterson. I thought Scott was brilliant. Chick, obviously. I didn't play with Chick, because somebody asked me about Chick as well, but I didn't play with Chick at his height. I just played him, I think, four or five games, and he was always around about the place, and I learned from him. But probably Scotty Patterson is a Partick Thistle player, because he was outstanding. For the two seasons, he was very, very good. Comfortable in the ball. Playing against would probably be one that stands out, probably into the Celtic, the Henrik Larsson or Sutton. Both of them were a handful for different ways. Really, really tough to play against. Both of them was probably the hardest players to play against.
And who's the best manager that you've served under?
That's a hard one. Probably down to John Lambie. Just as I say, I've been talking about it all this week. I've been doing a couple of interviews. And
sure.
John at the time, just bizarre. His training methods were bizarre. It was just everything was bizarre that came with him over the different periods that he was at the club, because I was here when he was a youngster as well. But just because we had success, I'd probably have to say John, just because the success, and it was just great bringing players in at the right times and moving them on and shipping them in and shipping them out. And I don't think he'd be such a success now, because the transfer window thing is, I think he was great signing players at the right times. I mean, Alec Burns was a great signing at the right times. I mean, there's Mark McNally as well, great signing. players like that. He was just great at doing that. And probably for the success he's had, probably John Lambie, for success reasons.
And, well, just to talk a little bit about fans, just for a second, we're partnering up with the One Thistle project. So I don't know if you've come across that, this idea that, you know, the fans can perhaps pick up some of the slack that will allow the club to concentrate on the playing side. But I was wondering, from the point of view of fans, what difference do you think crowd noise and even sort of individual comments have on players?
I think it affects players and what's it. A lot of people say it doesn't. It? A lot of players you come out and say, oh, it doesn't bother me, this and that. I've been quite lucky through my career. I've been kind of, the fans have all been good with me because I was a kid coming through, so I've had good times with Thistle fans, and I've always had good times. But I think what's changing now is the social side, the media thing, the Facebooks and the forum things and stuff like that. I'm lucky that I'm not really into all that computer side, but I know that there's boys in there, 18 and 19 year old, and they're maybe reading two or three comments for people, and they don't know who these people are. And they're maybe thinking, oh, they're saying I'm a bad player. It could be empty, it could be somebody who's never played football, doesn't know anything about football. And I think maybe it affects people like that more. It's a growing community, the game must be tough now, and they're reading these comments, and I'm thinking, try and stay away from them, if they stay away from that. Because we need as much support as we can. I mean, one thing I've learned over the years here, when we got the back-to-back promotions, our home record was brilliant. And it makes a difference having a home crowd backing you, and the noise does help. I mean, that's how usually your away support's always better, because you hear them because they're noisy, so they seem to sing more away from home. Uh-huh. All fans do, I think it's just a generalisation over football, that the away fans seem to sing more when you go to away grounds. But no, it makes a difference. The fans notice it. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing worse than getting booed off.
Uh-huh. No, absolutely. I mean, it's as regards to the young players, I might be a bit responsible, because I think I compared Paul Kearney to Mesut Ozil. on an article I wrote for STV.
Oh, right.
I said that's the position he was playing, but you know, it wasn't. So we also have a responsibility not to build them up too much as well.
I probably
hope he didn't read that.
That's also. I mean, that's a spot on, actually, because you get young guys and they can go the other way as well.
Uh-huh.
I think they're very temperamental. I mean, I get brought up in an era, John Lambie and Jerry Collins shouting balling at me, and it was character building for me. It was good. A lot of boys now, I don't think they could handle that. It just doesn't happen in football now. They don't clean boots, they don't do jobs, and a lot of that helps grow you as a footballer, as a person as well. And it doesn't happen now, and they're very temperamental. As you say, a lot of them can't deal with stick, and a lot of them can't deal with too much praise as well, because
there's a different dynamic perhaps between playing for Thistle and playing for Dundee United, as you did. Maybe there's perhaps as many as 10 times the number of fans. I can imagine there's a situation where you've played in front of 2,000 here,
mm-hmm.
and possibly 20,000 up in Tannadice. And do you think you've said the crowd makes a difference. I think the fact that you can maybe hear individual voices more, do you think that makes sense?
It probably does. I think Jerry Britton once said to me, 2,000 fans isn't a big deal, because when you go to play, you said he was the manager of Stranraer, and you get 200 or so, you hear every voice, every shout, which is probably worse.
Yeah.
If you look at that aspect, it probably is, and that's how it comes back to the social media, because you're hearing these one or two or three, four people, and it maybe sticks in their brain, and then you don't want to get out, no confidence to go and take the ball.
Uh-huh.
And they think, oh, I don't want to do that, and put themselves out there.
Uh-huh. Well, I think we saw a good example just a few weeks ago with young Scully in goals,
mm-hmm.
and he kept us in the game, three or four times, and then made, let's say, maybe two, perhaps three mistakes.
But I thought the fans were brilliant. The fans were great.
There was a couple, and that's what I was going to say. Were a couple of people giving pelters, but straight away they were shouted down. He's already saved us twice. You know, he made a couple of standing saves before that one that crept in.
And you forget he's only 19 and he's really, really young for a goalkeeper, for a football player. And
exactly.
To be fair, our fans, a lot of them get behind him. They started singing his name, which was brilliant.
Yeah, no, that's
great.
Thistle fans can be, like, when you're sitting there in amongst them, you think they're a load of numpties, but actually they are decent fans.
I know a lot of them. I know a lot of them through the years I've been here, and a lot of them are good fans. You just let anything, one or two, and some people just pick their, I think some people, fans just pick their one at the start of the season and they're not going to like, and that seems to happen a lot of football clubs, to be honest. Yeah. Just so fans.
I remember the guy that sat in front of us all those years ago, it was Derek Fleming. Couldn't he do anything right?
It's just one of these things.
Speaking of fans, I've heard Paolo Di Cernio has let out the bag that there's going to be Archie masks.
Who has?
Kearney.
Kearney, has he?
Uh-huh.
I'm hearing these things as well, and it's no my idea. I think Maxwell's maybe responsible for this.
So you've not chosen the headshot, you've not decided which era of Archie?
No, I've got no choice in any of it. All I know, I'm getting hung out to dry, I think. Probably be there to laugh at my expense. I did get told last week, Michelle, the press girl, is in there. I think they're sitting up there having a laugh at my expense. I think there's going to be masks, that's all I know.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to being Archie for the day. So just in closing, what's the best thing about Partick Thistle Football Club, and what would you change if you had the power?
The best thing? There's loads. One is the fans. When I lived in the West End, I was lucky enough I met my wife, and she was from the West End, and I stayed there for 3 or 4 years. And I get nothing but, every time I went out and met them, I didn't get any... nothing like the Old Firm side, and I think that's one of the best things about it. You see so much hatred with the Old Firm. It's a great upbringing for young fans. And my boys are now fans, I've got 2 7-year-olds, and they're fans here every week, and they've turned out to be fans, and so have I. So that's one of the best things about it. Mm-hmm. I think that we can build on that. We let the kids in free and try and get a community club and stop slashing the youth thing every time things go wrong, because that happened for years and years and years. And it was probably one of the downsides of John Lambie, whereas he'd just been the youth thing and he didn't really see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we had to work on, and it's something we do have to work on. All other clubs are Livingston's and Falkirk's, and everybody else has got maybe 2 or 3 steps ahead of us now, because we scrapped it when it was the first thing I'd done, and we get relegated or whatever else. So it's important we try and keep that and make it a community club, and that's what's special about Partick Thistle. A lot of fans I know, and they care about it a hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the worst things, we've not got enough of them.
Yeah.
We've not got enough, and that's probably... I'd probably say they've not got enough. We have got out there, because I meet them, you meet all these people, oh, a Thistle fan, I'm a Thistle fan. Do you go? No, I don't go.
Yeah.
And that's probably the worst thing you hear all the time, I'm a Thistle fan, but they don't go. If we get more bums on seats, it would help no end.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the worst things, I think.
Well, maybe if you started scoring some more goals.
I know. It'd be a good time to start come Saturday, I think.
That's how we'll see if we can get another brace from you. Or perhaps
nice.
That'll lose the Patrick.
You get Hinchcliffe and goal. That's another
theme. Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks very much.
No bother, it's a pleasure.
That was brilliant.
All right, cheers. That's your time. No bother.
Thank you.
The masks, eh? Brilliant.
So a big thank you to Alan Archibald, and thank you to you too, Manly J-Pan.
That's no problem.
We'll hear another of your interviews shortly. We'll have a quick chat about Thistle's recent form. And there's been the emergence. I think we need to give Stuart Bannigan a mention, because he's stepped into the team. First of all, to replace Sinclair, but also David Rowson, and he's looked comfortable in both positions. Kerry, do you see him being a feature in the squad next year? And if so, what position?
Yeah, I think he's definitely got a part to play. Obviously, he was kind of phased in towards the end of last season with a couple of games here and there. But I think now he's really matured as a player enough to be playing regular first-team football. I'd imagine that McNamara would rather play him in midfield, maybe not kind of slightly left of centre position. But if depending, obviously, what happens with Sinclair, if he moves on, it's quite conceivable that he will be played as a kind of left wing-back. And of course, it depends what else happens with the likes of Johnny Lindsay when he comes back from loan as well.
This is true. Marky, Stuart Bannigan's been very good recently. Anyone else impressed you in the last few games?
Scott Robertson. Since he's come back from injury, he's slotted in to the centre defence quite well. And I think he's quite composed on the ball.
Okay, who do you think his defensive partner should be? He's played alongside Peyton there, Archibald, Balotelli. I mean, do you think we could maybe bring in someone else? Who do you think he should be playing alongside in the centre of defence?
I think if we're going to keep Archie for next year, I would play Archie alongside him, because you sort of need like an older head and a younger head together. Balotelli, I don't think he's as good. Maybe not as good as they two, but he'd be a good backup to have somebody, because I think that's the way he's been playing the last 4 or 5 games. He's been the reserve.
Yeah.
Keep it like that.
Okay.
Do you think Conrad will stay as the reserve when Willie Kinnebrew's fully fit again?
Well, this is the other one, isn't it? Manly J Panda, do you see Wally Kinnebrough maybe getting back into the fold? I mean, it's been well documented before that he's got a lot of banter in the dressing room and everything like that. He's important for the team, but do you think he's got a part to play as a player?
It's been a long time since we've seen Wally Kinnebrough, and it's been a long time since we've seen him in any sort of pressure situation. As far as I understand it, McNamara rates him, which is in the end the most important thing.
Yeah.
McNamara certainly seems to think that he's got a role to play. Whether it's as... I think we might see the season starting with Archie actually as a backup, and a fully fit Kinnebrough with a pre-season under his belt, partnering Robertson in defence. That's I don't know if Balotelli might find himself surplus to requirements. Depends on wage demands, I'm sure, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But we'll need to see what happens over the summer.
Yeah. So moving on from defensive positions, Donald, one of the players to come in this season and do a job is Sean Welsh, and he's on loan from Hibs. Do you think he might have a future at Thistle? And has he impressed you at all?
Not really. I mean, when you compare the performances of him and Bannigan, I think we could have brought Bannigan into the team earlier rather than bringing in Welsh, and which would obviously have benefited Bannigan more in the long run and a better build-up perhaps for next season.
To be fair, I think they appeared in the team at the same time, because Welsh's first game was at Livingston, in that he was terrible. Was that his first game or his second game? I can't remember.
I think it was his first game.
Yeah, and he it was the whole team was terrible that day. Well, after the first 15 minutes, after they scored, the whole team was terrible. But Bannigan, I think, also featured in that game. I think he came on as a sub,
right.
And then
he came on when Rayson got injured.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I mean they did appear around about the same time. I think Welsh is a similar sort of thing to Robertson. I think he's blown a bit hot and cold, but Robertson's good performances have come in a run over the last maybe five or six games, whereas Welsh has maybe had the same number of good games, but they've been
More spaced out.
Yeah, so maybe he's suffering by comparison a little bit.
I mean, I'm probably being a wee bit harsh on him. He is still quite young.
I think he's 19 or 20.
From what I heard, he certainly had a very good game at Queen of the South, where it ran riot. There were perhaps slightly over exuberant comparisons made to when Alan Hutton was in the team, obviously earlier in the season.
Or Kyle Hutton.
Or Kyle Hutton, yeah, not Alan Hutton, come on about. But yeah, so
arguably Kyle's better at the moment.
Yeah. I think he's certainly got potential, though. Although I don't think he's maybe going to be in our long-term plans.
Okay, well, that'll be interesting to see. Manly J Panda, you mentioned the recent decent run that Thistle are on, and the weekend there we had a fantastic result up at Dundee, a 3-0 victory, and all three goals coming courtesy of Paul Keoghan. You went and spoke to him, didn't you?
I did, I went and spoke to him.
Before we let the listeners hear that, your impressions of the man?
He's very friendly. Quite quietly spoken. I hope you can hear the interview all right, because he's not someone with a big deep booming voice, which might surprise you. And he seemed quite genuine. Maybe as yet not used to being interviewed. That'll need to change if he makes a step up a division and ESPN or sticking a microphone under his under his nose, asking him for man of the match.
Or Jeff Shreves.
Jeff Shreves, it could be. Did you know you're not going to play in the Champions League final this year, Paul? What?
So, yes, you weren't Shreevish all over his face or anything like that.
No. I let him breathe.
Good stuff. Well, and enjoy the interview.
I've got Paul Kearney with me, and just going to discuss a few things, especially coming up to the last home game of the season. So obviously it's going to be a big day for club captain Archie. You boys getting any special plans for him?
With the faces, I think that's going to happen, but the older ones like Rousey and that, I think we've got something on for after the game if we get a victory. So
nice.
Nice. It'd be good if we get a win, and especially when it's called Archie Day as well, to get the 3 points as well. So we're really looking forward to it.
Nice stuff. You've had an extremely good season. I've been able to enjoy your performances several times during the season. I think there's a big difference between this season and last season. One of the things that was pointed out to us on Facebook, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, we think sitting in the stands we see an improvement in your fitness. Is that something that you've been working on?
Yeah, towards the last season, halfway through the season, I took a wee bit of an illness, but to be fair, I was rubbish before that, but that was just something I owed the fans as well from my performance last year, and I thought to myself that I was going to do well this season. Thankfully I have, so I just went out after the last game of the season, and I didn't take a break, I just kept on walking through it, and well, I hope it's paid off to the fans and for me and the club. So
aye, it's been really noticeable. One of the things that I've noticed as well is that you're getting yourself more room on the pitch. It seems now when you're receiving the ball, you're getting the ball in such a way that you don't have to immediately get rid of it. You've got a choice, you can actually take someone on, and that's really making is that something that you think that, is that something that's partly down to the gaffer? Is that down to your own, like, the fact you're maturing as a footballer, or how do you see that? Is that something you've noticed yourself?
Yeah, I think the gaffer wants to play football all the time, and he's always encouraging all the younger boys like myself and like Aaron and be shooting, all that, to get the ball down and don't be scared even if you lose it, but make sure you lose it in the opposite half and not other half. So it's been good under him and Sid, and I think with some of the boys here, it's a first season in professional football, and I think if we keep the players in here, I don't see why how we can't be up at the top next year.
Right, so you're hoping, you think Thistle got a good chance going forward as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, with the young players and the players like Archie and Rouser and Peyton and that, you can just see in training, you can just see all the boys are confident, even with the gaffer and Sid, they just want you to get the ball down, pass it. And
is that's obviously taking a bit of fear away from the game for you?
Yeah, especially when obviously he's played the Celtic and Wolves and that, and he knows what it's all about. But having said, they've been brilliant with all the boys, and to be fair, when we played Coulter, it was horrible, and when we drew 1-1, it was horrible up there, and the gaffer knew, and all the players know, we let down obviously the fans and the club and that, so we just wanted to make sure that we kicked on for it. And I think when you look at the league table, we can finish third and hopefully we can do that and give obviously support a wee boost, and it'll give the young boys a wee bit of a boost. So
that's brilliant. I've just got a couple of really quick questions that have come from Facebook, Twitter, and some of the other Jagscasters. So it's just quickly, what's the best goal you've ever scored? Are you someone that like keeps a memory of all your goals in your head?
I think the full cup one, to be fair, but I enjoyed obviously Saturday there with the getting the hat trick, and I would say it was full cup. So
I mean, well, you ruined Brad Douglas's day, which is always
that was good day.
Who was your favourite player growing up?
It was Zinedine Zidane. But I love watching Messi now, so
he's extraordinary. I think your one of your goals was called Messi like the other day.
I don't know why. So
okay, and then there's some questions about your teammates. In terms of like skill, like ball juggling, not best actual footballer, but who's the best? Like, who's got the best tricks at the club?
To be fair, there's a few boys, but Chris Erskine in training, he does stuff that I don't even know if he knows he's doing it, but there's a lot of good boys in that dressing room, and I think There's a lot of boys in there.
Right, and who is the worst at that? Who has got, like, in the first team? Let's leave the youth boys out of it. But in the first team squad, who's like, who will just not even try and do a trick or anything?
Big Archie.
Big Archie. Rose Ed. Conrad Balathoni said on Twitter to ask you who is top man.
I don't know who's top man.
That's what he said. Have you got any light-hearted abuse that we can shout at Conrad Balathoni? Any in jokes or anything like that?
Well, somebody phoned my taxi and killed her, so all the boys are having a laugh about that still. So if you want, you can just shout taxi for Conrad.
Taxi for Conrad, I'm sure we'll do that. That was brilliant. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And we hope we get a chance to speak to you again in the Jagscast.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
Cheers.
Isn't that Paul Kearney a lovely man?
He's a lovely man.
Yeah.
What a lovely man.
He bought me a pint once.
Did he?
He did. The player of the year two years ago.
More on that later.
If you're lucky.
Don't think there's anyone in the room at present who would like to see Paul Kearney leaving for Hull. Do we think it's a possibility, first of all? Panda, your verdict on him, you spoke to him. Do you think he's staying?
My impression is that it's not as much a foregone conclusion that he'll leave as we perhaps thought. Because I think Paul Kearney realises what he needs as much as anything else is to keep playing. And so if he makes a step up, it has to be, you know, it has to be first of all to the right team that suits him. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it has to be. Has to be somewhere where he'll get game time, and we I think we're all disappointed for Johnny Tuffy in the way that his moves turned out.
Yeah, serves him right.
Maybe it serves him right, but I think there's still a lot of good feeling about him around about Jags fans, and it is just a shame that he's not been given the opportunity, because you look at somebody like him, he's as good as any goalkeeper in that division. Let's face it. I mean, even you look at the goalkeeper of the team that's won the league. And yeah, he's not particularly not special, special, you know. Mm. So, you know, you'd maybe say, apart from Alan McGregor, there's no standout goalkeepers in the SPL.
Uh-huh.
So why, you know, Tuffy could make it. By the same token, you can look at a lot of the midfielders that are filling jerseys in the SPL. Kearney's as good as a lot of them, but there's no sense in them going to a place like, I was going to say Hearts, but I think Hearts are trying to change. But if you think of Hearts, Jim Jeffrey Hearts, at least. You know, the first thing they do with Kearney is send him to the gym and get him to bulk up, and you know, he's not that kind of player. He needs a bit of space, and he needs but his fitness has improved to the point where I think he could certainly make it. The other thing we have to take into consideration is that the SPL is a much better stepping stone. I mean, we look at what happened with Hamilton, getting a couple of players poached by English Premier League clubs. Same thing with Graham Dorans, you know, and so
even Connor Salmon.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, you've got to say if he gets the chance and he gets a chance to play, you know, good luck to him. But I'm not certain that he is going. And I think McNamara was certain he was going maybe a week ago, but I don't know if it's that clear now.
Donald, you love Paul Kearney.
Through the month, every month.
I think the months that he's won it were entirely down to you and your pseudonyms and entering the competition.
Mrs. Paul Kearney, Paul Kearney Senior, Paul Kearney Junior, all of them are in there, all voting.
Manly J Panda mentioned the improvement in his fitness. What do you think the main difference has been for Paul Kearney this season? Because let's face it, we were tired of moaning at him. But this season he's been a revelation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it does go back even a couple of years. Obviously, when he had the virus problem that he had, and I think that was actually a big wake up call for him, just in sort of his general life, never mind footballing life. And obviously, coming through that, he has, as Manley's mentioned, worked on his fitness. And I think he's now got that bit of maturity, and it's really helped improve his consistency. And he's obviously become a lot better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his fitness was definitely a problem last season, and maybe slightly before that as well. But when he first came to us, He showed that he had that the kind of ability that he's showing now. The problem was after 60 minutes, he was completely done. There was no way that he was going to be able to make that impact for a full 90 minutes. Now, I think that's the big difference. He's able to command a game from his position for the whole time. It's not as though we're constantly looking to see, do we have a fresh pair of legs who can slot in for Kearney and then having to work around that. We just don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, it's good. Mackie, the panda here doesn't think he, has a feeling that he doesn't think Kearney will go. If he does go, who do you see as the ideal replacement in that sort of free midfield role? For example, do you think Bannigan could step into that as an attacking midfielder?
I don't think Bannigan is. I think he's more a box, like a David Rowson type midfielder. I would probably say out of the current squad we have, be more suited to Erskine, maybe playing that role, but I don't think Kearney will leave either. I wonder, see what you were saying about fitness and that, I wonder how much of an influence, I think, Simon Donnelly.
Yeah.
Because I think he's the same, as Simon Donnelly was a youngster at Celtic, I think Kearney is similar to the way he was. Like the same type of player, I think.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much influence him and Jackie have had with Paul. Because I think a lot of the youngsters now, they all seem, when I watched the reserve game last week, and Jackie played, and they were all keen to learn for Jackie, and I wonder how well, I think they work really well with the youngsters.
I think that's great to hear. Jackie had a hard time off of some fans' quarters, but in the last few games, I think fans are really seeing his team come together, the effect that he's had on Kearney and others, and he's playing some really free-flowing stuff. And it was really good to see, and an after-match reaction. He took a little bit of time. There was a wee paragraph on just some of the tactics that he's been working on, and it was allowing one of the wing backs to attack, and the opposite wing back to sit in defence. And just giving that explanation to the fans, I think, will help a lot of people understand what he's trying to do. So it's great to hear that during the reserve game, the youngsters were with him.
By the way, the Jags cast has been pointing that out
from
the start of the season. From the start of the season, we've been talking about that. One of the things that's helped Kearney is a McNamara. I actually spoke to Jackie about this. It's a switch that's almost like an unintended consequence of putting Erskine on the right so he can cut in. He's used Kearney over the other side. And what that's meant for Kearney is whenever he's receiving the ball, he has an option. He has space that he can take a man on, or he can hold the ball, or he can pass it back. He can look for a 1-2. He's got.
Obviously thinks a lot of Kearney.
Well, before, when Kearney was either playing right on the right wing and getting in a mess with Paul Payton, it didn't work. That was the McCall
thing.
The Chuckle Brothers to me to you thing, and that was, I think that was the time that I shouted, "Kearney, you're ruining my life." one of the celebrated heckles, and then when he was moved into the centre, it was just like people were on top of him all the time, because he's strong, but
another presence.
But putting them out there, that's I don't think that was, we'll put Kearney at wide. I think we'll put Erskine here,
right,
and we'll balance it up, and it's worked brilliantly for both of them.
The thing is, McCall also put Kearney on the left a couple of times, but it was always with a flat midfield four. It was never with this kind of set up with the three and then the wing backs coming up either side. I think that works a lot better.
That's a great point. We've got a listener's question.
Or was it 20?
No. No, it was John Maxwell.
20 is doing the marathon.
Yes.
Good luck, 20.
So the Edinburgh Marathon, aye?
Yeah.
Go and sponsor him.
Go and sponsor him.
Is that not Ronald?
They're both 20.
Is Chris not doing one as well? I think Chris is. Anyway. But we do have a listener's question from one of our listeners. I think that's two now.
Oh, it must be.
John Maxwell wanted to know how Kearney and Sinclair's partnership compares to other partnerships in Thistle teams over the years. So obviously Kearney and Sinclair this season have been linking up in the left hand side to great effect, we would say. Are there any other partnerships? It could be wing partnerships, or civil partnerships or midfield partnerships over the years where you think, yeah, that really works?
Well, I mean, surely there's nothing greater than the Jimmy Gibson, Darren Brady midfield powerhouse combination.
Beautiful. Just talking about midfield powerhouse, one of the ones as a sort of sensible suggestion, Donald, is Danny Lennon and Martin Hardy. And that's just the sort of classic, yeah. One sits, one goes, and if there's space, Danny Lennon will follow, and he chipped in with his fair share of goals.
Yep.
I think that was a really good partnership. Any others?
We spoke about centre-back pairings a wee bit earlier. One of the things that I noticed from the Archie interview was how much he thought of Shaggy. That partnership, certainly in the centre of defence, or in defence at least, seemed to be something that was pretty strong.
Yeah.
As far as this one.
Round about the same time, Archie was more kind of the left centre back, left fullback, and Fleming was left mid. And they
a
two
very effective goal. Partnership.
Yep.
And Fleming had a good haul of goals in that first division season as well, didn't
they? I'm trying to work out if I think Andy Gibson and Adam Strachan as a kind of axis of disappointment. Might be one to check back in the record books if they ever played together. Or on the Championship Manager theme, Willie Howie.
So disappointing.
Was it Scott McLean and Peter Lindau?
Oh, sweet. That's pretty sweet.
That is good. So there you go, John Maxwell. And a few former County players in there as well. So no doubt you'll have fond memories of them. So just sort of to round off our part in the podcast, we're going to finish off with a little discussion about our season as a whole, a wee season review. So first of all, I'm going to go around the group and ask you for your favourite game of the year. Are there any games that have really stood out for you? Who wants to go first?
Well,
Donald.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably everyone should stop listening for about 10 seconds while I talk about this. One of my favourite games this season was Cooter 1, Partick Thistle 1.
Why was that?
I just enjoyed the trip up.
The trip back down wasn't great though. I fell asleep.
It was funny though. I mean, for me it was everything that it means to be a Jags fan to go to that game. See them play awfully. See them get some of the most horrendous abuse I've ever heard at full time as they were walking off past the fans that had gone all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming back in the car, all you could do was laugh.
That was it. And I think we'd been in the car 20 seconds before I went, well, we're in the draw for the
Exactly, that's what it's all about.
But on the plus side of that, the performances since
then.
On the plus side, since
the worst result.
Since the worst result, you've got
Peyton
and Bartoni improved right away. Peyton's been one of the best players since the game because he's moved position.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because there is a wee bit on the plus side for that game.
Was it not after the Cooter game that Peyton was first tried out at defensive midfield?
Yeah,
as well?
it wasn't
so it kind of prompted that change.
You got a favourite game?
Yeah, I've only really had much opportunity to go to home games this season, so aside the Cooter disgrace. But the 5-0 game against Morton on the Monday, Friday night football, and great attendance as well because a lot of neutrals came along to Firhill as well, and all our strikers seemed to be pretty strong.
Donald, you missed that game, didn't you? You stayed in the pub.
Well, it was raining. I thought it's going to be rubbish. I'll just stay in the pub and get drunk. I texted Vinny just after half time. Text him, what's the score? Was it 1-0 maybe at that point?
What? No, it was 2-0 at half time.
I was like, alright, fair enough. We'll probably throw it away. Texted him about it just after full time. It's 5-0. I was like, no, I don't think so. Asked one of the boys in the pub, get your phone out, check the BBC website. Right enough, couldn't believe it.
5-0. And they were league leaders at that time. And that was the game that ruined their season. It really did. So, Kerry, I'm actually going to go for a Greenock Morton game as well.
No.
But it's...
Maggie.
Oh, Mackie's got it. I'm going to go for the Green at Morton game down there, where we scored a very late winner, and we also were able to see a David Rowson screamer. It was a really good day. It was the first half was fantastic. Second half, Mackie sat next to me. It was magnificent, Mackie, wasn't it? That, I mean, over the years we've had so many last minute goals scored against us. To get the winner that day was really, really good. That was a really gritty performance that day as well. And Paul Payton was outstanding.
Yep.
He was. He really was.
I think that was not the first away victory of the season as well.
No, we won up at Dundee before that. Earlier in the season.
Delete that if it's wrong. No, if they beat us. They beat us 3-2 up there.
Oh, did they ball?
I'm sure.
So, that.
Delete that if it's wrong.
Leave it in.
There's so many Easter eggs today, isn't there? There's another one.
I'm sure.
For me,
yeah, we'll delete that if it's wrong. I think that was the first away victory of the season, Mackie.
Like that?
Sure.
Okay,
that'll do.
I'm
the
going to come to you next. Panda, a favourite game?
The game that sticks in my memory, favourite game. See, I didn't get to that Morton 5-0. I was at Firhill when we beat Cooter. Was it
4-4?
And there was something really anticlimactic about that. Once that first goal went in, that was beautiful.
8 seconds
in. The game that I'll probably remember from this season is sadly when we get taken apart by Livingston. On Livingston's pitch, and I just, you know, that was a real low point in the season for me, because we just looked like a team that could be harassed off the ball, you know, and it was the first time that I'd started to actually doubt, you know, the McNamara ball playing project when you've got a pitch that you can't play on, and also with opposition, you're determined to get in your face. I think I've calmed down a bit about it now, because I think you see what even the best teams, what happens to even the best teams if someone, you know, has a concerted effort to run at them, and they're not playing on a decent pitch. Even, you know, Milan, Barcelona at the San Siro is an example, and you know, possibly even what happened to Manchester United against Everton, you know, just for a team that's willing to press you hard. But that's, unfortunately, when I was thinking back of all the games of the season, that's the one that really stands out.
I remember at this point last year when we asked for your favourite game, it was a 1-1 draw with Ross County.
That was the worst game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
No, the worst games were the Ross County games at home this season.
They were terrible.
Sorry, John, but it's true. Mackie, have you got another favourite game, seen as I stole yours?
go with the second half performance against Ayr United.
The 4-2 game.
4-2 game.
Yeah, 4-2 game. Okay. I'm going to, that sort of leads nicely along, because there were a couple of nice goals in that game. So I'm going to ask you now for your favourite goal of the season. It might have been against us, so we might have seen an absolute screamer against us, but your favourite goal this season? Anyone want to start off?
Mine's pretty recent, actually. It's Sinclair's free kick.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Especially because our dad has been saying for the whole of the season, for like even pre-season, I think he started saying one of them's going to go in. Usually means his crosses, doesn't he? But yeah. but finally, I think he got the goal, and it was. It was beautiful.
Special.
It didn't, like, it was one of these ones that just stayed, you know, it seemed to quickly reach the height that it was going at and then fizzed.
Yeah.
The straight line, like, it just went up and fizzed. There was hand gestures there, listeners.
Yeah.
For the up and fizz, you'll need to put them on.
Kerry, you're holding your hand in the air as if you want me to address you. Have you got a goal
of
the season?
My goal of the season was actually one from O'Donnell. Against Morton, when he basically ran the full length of the pitch and then
is this the 5-0 game?
The 5-0
yeah.
game.
Which Donald missed.
Yes, which Donald missed. Sorry, just drop that in again. But it was It was the fact that we didn't really know what to expect from him. He was relatively new to the team. I think he was played at it was either at right back or right midfield.
He was started at right mid, I think.
And just weren't expecting much of him at all, but honestly the pace on him was just insane. Particularly for someone in a right mid or right defensive position, you just don't expect him to be that fast.
Yeah, and for him to get into that position, it was a really good effort from him. Mackie, goal of the season?
I'll go for a headed goal.
Oh.
Kenny Duker's own goal.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that one as well.
No, I'll go for the David Rousing goal against Morton.
Yeah, down there. It was a really good goal.
I think it was a 25-yard, but it ended up.
It's getting further and further. Yeah.
Screamer.
He was inside his own half.
Yeah. Donald Mark Cochran Ballatoni, goal of the season.
I can't really remember many goals.
He's so drunk.
I mean, Manley mentioned earlier. The first goal in the Kitter game at home was actually a really well worked goal.
The Christy Elliott.
Even though it was only 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it was. It was a well worked goal. It was actually a flick on that worked, which was nice
somehow.
Yeah.
But again, I'm going to go for my favourite goal of the season will be Archie on Saturday.
Very good. I'm going to pick a Paul Kearney goal, and there have been a few really really good ones, but I'm going to go for Falkirk away. Which was the lob from distance, and the cheek of it, just that, like, to even have the vision for that and to disguise it so well. I looked for all the world that he was going to drive it, and it was just inch perfect. Had it been an inch, seeing as it was inch perfect, had it been an inch higher, it would have hit the crossbar. Had it been an inch lower, the keeper would have got it. It was just a perfect goal. It was a really, really good goal. So I'm going to go with Paul Kearney against Falkirk. Right, now, the serious business, gentlemen. Donald has managed to sell all of the tickets for the Player of the Year Awards. Disco and awards ceremony.
Yep, and none of yous are going.
No, none of us are going. No. But it won't stop us asking you to present one of the players with an award. So, I think the only fair way to do this is for you all to make a suggestion, and then I'll decide who the winner is.
Yep.
So that's fair to me. So if say a name, and if you want to give an explanation as well, then go for it. Just bloody well go for it. Manly J Panda, you first of all. Your player of the season.
There's a number of candidates. There's Chris Herskin, who is always a
right. Okay, vote's closed.
Paul Kearney's obviously had an exceptional season. But my vote, based on improvement, and what he brings to the team now, is Paul Payton.
Paul Payton.
Don't. I hope he's not listening. He'll be like, he'll be in Ipswich Mirren again.
SPL, here I come.
He'll be like, I'm really pleased with that. That's what he'll be like.
Okay, so Paul Payton, one vote. Will it stay that way, Mackie?
I was thinking of Paul Payton as well.
Were you thinking about voting for him? Or?
No, I'm thinking of voting for him, but I think there's only one player we can give it to, Paul Kearney.
Favourite Kearney moment of the season?
Having just seen it on the video, the goal.
The cheeky chip. Okay. So that's one for Paul Payton, one for Paul Kearney. Cowie.
It's a second for Kearney. He's just been absolutely fantastic this season. We've not had a midfielder capable of scoring with that degree of regularity since Harkins, and it's something that we were sorely missing during the McCall tenure, Harkins aside.
Okay.
Actually, a quick question. Who scored?
I think this season Kearney scored more goals than Harkins
did. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's what you're
going to
say.
I was thinking the last time someone scored 15 goals from midfield, it must have been Hardy.
Yeah.
But you're quite right, we need a goal scoring midfielder.
Yeah.
So you're quite right, Cowie.
Frank Lampard's out of contract, isn't he?
Aye, I reckon he could do a job.
If we can keep Kelly, I don't think we'll need him. I wouldn't play them both in the same team.
No.
You can't play together.
He'd eat them.
You think Kearney's too similar to Gerrard then?
Yeah. Donald.
Well, I mean, obviously everyone's going for Kearney, and fair enough. But
everyone.
Well, a lot of people.
Okay.
Listen. I wrote this before we started. I'm not changing it.
I just mean in general, a lot of people have been suggesting Paul Kearney for player of the season, and I'm kind of reluctant to give it to who I want to give it to, given that we did that last year and it ruined the first half of his season this year.
Yeah, that's true. Chris Erskine suffering from the Jagscast Player of the Year award syndrome.
So I'm going to hope that it has the opposite effect this year and give it to Sean Fraser.
So that Sean Fraser turns really good.
Yep, why not?
Because he's really bad just now.
Well, I don't know. I've not seen him play, have you?
Nope.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uses the same barber as me, though.
He played last week in the reserves.
How was he in the reserves, Marky?
He scored two goals.
How was he in the reserves, Marky?
He looked quite big.
He looked big.
He's going to shrink ahead of him. He was up against Andy Millen.
And did he beat him for pace?
Nah.
Just
he bullied the young Kuna South centre half as well.
Excellent. Like a bit of bullying.
Gold bullying.
Yeah. So we've got one for Sean Fraser, one for Paul Payton, two for Paul Kearney. I'm just the same as Saturday, it's going to be a third for Paul Kearney. Sorry, Pates.
Sorry, Sean.
Paul Kearney's just been. Manly J Panda, you spoke about improvement in a player. I think Paul Kearney's shown that as well this season.
Mm-hmm.
Cowie's quite right by pointing out the amount of goals that he's brought to the team, and the mere fact that we're talking about a potential SPL move for him,
mm-hmm.
and even potentially a move down south where he would fit into some teams, maybe in League One.
I
think that just shows how far he's came. So I think that's it. I think Jagscast Player of the Year is Paul Kearney. So well done, Paul. Panda clap.
Kelly probably trying to edit that now.
that brings us to the end of our section of the podcast, gentlemen. Any final words?
No, just to say that upcoming after this is we're gonna have a longish interview with Jackie McNamara. The man is impossible to shut up. you hear that I try and end it, I think, three times. And he starts talking about something else, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that's interesting.
To credit him, he was once again very generous with his time.
Very generous with his time, yeah. And my favourite piece of news from it is that he has been trying all season. He and Saido have been trying.
He doesn't call him Saido, does he?
No, I don't think. but I do. All season they've been trying to get the players to shoot more, which I can't believe. Like, do you know what I think it might be? I think it might be that the fans aren't offering them enough encouragement to shoot. So I think on Saturday we should all get behind them and scream shoot whenever you can. And also, based on what we've already heard in the Paul Kelly interview, I want us all shouting taxi for Conrad as well.
Taxi for Conrad?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure we can oblige with that. This of course will not be the last podcast from us before the summer. There's a few of us taking part in the Firhill Cup this year. Manly J Panda, you're going to be there?
My money's in.
Your money's in. Mackie, you're going to be there?
Yes, I'll be there.
And I'll be there as well.
I'm the veteran. 2 years.
How are we feeling about it?
Well,
I'm stupidly excited.
I get trained up last week because I got my first ever and probably only ever Man of the Match award in a rugby match.
Oh, Well, congratulations.
I was playing. Well, I was playing out of position at tight head for my team for Queens Ferry, and we destroyed Boness and
yes,
get
Falkirk scum.
Well, no, that's like our local rivals now, Boness. Because they're just along. If you think about Boness and Queens Ferry, are really quite close to each other. Although you think that, but. So that's
geared you up for the Fir Hall
that's
Cup.
Geared me up for the Fir Hall Cup, and I know how to, like, if there's any scrums, I think you can rely on me to destroy any children that are
Well, Mackie, you spoke to me a wee bit about the tactical nous of some of the players you were with last year, of which there are none, so there could be some scrums.
Yes, especially when they stay at the pitch.
Touch, yeah.
Pause. Engage.
So yeah, looking forward to that. And I did say to Davy Maines, who's helping organise the Fir Hall Cup this year, they're doing a really good initiative this year where if you have any old football strips, they're going to have a sort of a bringing by of old football strips. They're going to have a stall set up on the day of the Fir Hall Cup. So if you've got any old football strips, come along on the day. It's going to be a really, really good day. Hopefully the weather's kind to us. It wasn't last year, Mackie.
No.
But hopefully the weather's kind to us. You'll see some hilarious football. There'll be a bouncy castle.
Yay.
Face paint and all that jazz. But also bring along any old football strips. I'll be contributing a few, I'm sure.
Can I get my face painted like Chris Erskine?
Yes. this weekend you'll have your face like Alan Archibald.
Oh, well.
A great initiative by the club to get everyone looking like Archibald.
to mentally scar as many mascots as we can. Imagine coming out of the tunnel and just seeing...
And then turn round.
It's like being John Malkovich, isn't it? Anyone seen that? No.
Highbrow.
Okay, thank you very much, Manly J Panda. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for your work in the interviews, all three of those interviews.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Mackie.
Thank you.
And I'll see you at the Fir Hall Cup.
Yep.
Kerry, thank you for your time.
Cheers.
And I'll thank you in advance for the terrible editing job. And Donald Mark Cochrane Balatoni, thank you very much for coming along.
You're welcome.
Thank you in advance for the editing job.
Not bad. And I've been your host, Vincent Black Lightning, and it's been a pleasure to report to you this season. And as I said, one more podcast to come up before the summer, so look out for it and enjoy the interview with Jackie McNamara. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so now joined by the gaffer himself, Jackie McNamara. I spoke to you at the start of the season,
mm-hmm.
I think it was even probably before you officially got the job.
Yeah.
About what you hope to do this season. How much of it do you think you've managed to accomplish?
I think I spoke about, you know, expectations for us and try to get the right stuff in and the right mentality, the way we're playing, try to play some football. I thought the things we have. I think I said a bit of progression. I think we're 2 points behind where we were last year. We've scored more goals, conceded less. I think we've won the same amount of games. I think there's two more draws we had last year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end of the season after taking over. So, you know, when I look back through the games, how many points we've not thrown away, but how many points we've left, you know. Just it's incredible how many points with more we should have. I suppose that most teams in the league can say that.
Yeah.
There's games that have disappointed me, that I've felt that they've let, you know, the players have let us down, the fans down, but not a lot in terms of, you know, overall commitment or desire. And one of the specs of mine was Livingston 3-1 game away, and really angered me. The Kuta game. The way we went, the individuals, and couldn't handle the pressure. Possibly better game at home.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from that, there's been a very thin line between not just winning the game, but even drawing it and losing it. I think last week against Rafe was a prime example of kind of our season. A game to be comfortable. We got the goal. could have had a few more goals. Not creating a great deal in the game, but a game we're comfortable in. We lose a goal with 11 minutes to go, mm-hmm. and we're hanging on. You know, in the Dundee game at the weekend there, when again we had some good chances, we're comfortable in the game. They've not created anything. I think they'd one attempt in open play when your boy Riley's flicked over later on in the game. So it was all kind of set pieces, which has been a bit of a downfall for us. We miss a penalty and they get a lift and you're thinking it's deja vu and
mm-hmm.
you know Falkirk away as well, you know, two games. But I think there's, for me, I can see obviously how they go about things, how they've handled things. Certain games, I think there's something like 12 games I think in the league, maybe 13, we've not scored a goal, which mm-hmm. that's something we need to address, although we've scored more goals this year than we have last year, but they all came in like 5-0
mm-hmm.
against Morton, 5-0 against Queens. It's getting that minimum mentality, and teams are coming in part of the bus. You know, we've struggled against the Raith Rovers. Seems like they've came and sat in.
Also, we seem to have struggled against when we're clearly the favourites.
Mm-hmm.
When we're clearly the favourites, it seems like there's a
pressure. It is, it's a pressure, it's mm-hmm. it's mentality, and it's something we've spoken about with the players, you know, even before. You know, looking at the. You know, we beat Stenishby in the cup. We didn't play particularly well. We didn't hang on near the end. Then the next game was Berwick, where again we're individuals. Every time we've been under, you know, pressure to win games, and it's not been right, we go as individuals. No, we've not stayed as a team. Mm-hmm. Cooter as well. We're individuals, made some errors in the game. Then everybody starts going doing things differently rather than doing what they normally do their jobs properly, because the expectations there, and that comes from obviously from experience and from, you know, the youthfulness of them, that they'll learn, but they have to learn quickly to deal with
it. I spoke to you about who you thought would be the performers. You mentioned Chris Erskine,
mm-hmm.
Who I think has been absolutely unplayable at times. He's been superb in some of the games I've seen. In other games, he's not really featured, but he's that kind of player. Other name you mentioned was Bannigan, who appears, you know, he's getting starting to, you know, really break into the team now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you know, are you happy with their contribution? Are they where you thought they would be? And is there anyone else who's really performed for you this season?
I think there's been a number of performances. Erskine, as you said. You know, even before we took over, everybody keeps saying, "Oh, he's an impact player." He's either, you know, a 9 out of 10, or he's a 2. And then you ask yourself, why? Why can he either be brilliant or hopeless in a game? Why an impact player? Similar a wee bit to Paul. If he's not influencing the game, can he do the other side? And as I keep saying to him, you know, everybody can have a bad game, but you can still influence a game. Putting yourself about, working the backside off, winning tackles, you know, and I think with Chris, to realise that, you know, everybody obviously expects him to go and beat 2 or 3 guys and then do the unexpected things he doesn't know he's going to do
mm-hmm.
in a game. But getting back to basics, when it's not going right, how do you make yourself a good, consistent player?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he's not a winger. Chris isn't a winger, he's a player that needs a freedom in the pitch, he needs a freedom for us, and that's when we've got the best out of him. When he's got that freedom, he's running at defenders, it's great to watch,
yes.
Great for the fans to watch, and as I've said a number of times, he's unplayable. Some of the times at the start of the season, we've put him in the structure with him and Kearney, have been kind of wider in the midfield in the four, where they're on the opposite sides,
mm-hmm.
they've still got a bit of freedom, but they've still got a job to do in the midfield. As we've played in the last sort of 6-7 games, they've been playing probably off the front
too.
With the two of them, maybe find themselves there or there, but they're not getting picked up and marked. And I think looking back early in the season, that's where we've kind of struggled, when they're in a structure, when they're getting marked, they become, you know, easy to get out of the game, basically.
It's an interesting one, because I feel that the kind of inverted outside players, not wingers really, I suppose, mm-hmm. but outside inverted wide midfield players,
was almost created for Erskine, but it's worked really, really well for Kearney as well, because what it means is he's getting, when he gets the ball, he can choose whether he moves into space and try and beat someone, or he can pass, or he can stop the ball, and it seems to have worked really well for him.
It has, yeah. I think the two of them are similar in terms of the freedom. We've got two guys that obviously are different, but they're similar in terms of what they do for the team, the creative side. Of it. Chris is, Kearney's more a ball player. What Chris will do is run with the ball and take people on. Chris will pull a link up and find space. But it's finding the positions that they can get. How do we get on the ball when teams are parked in? Which is why we've played the system we have. We've put in the three because I know that we drew against Rifles last week, but the whole intent is to try and get them to come out. Yeah. We're putting three at the back. You know, they just put the balls in the corner and running throw-ins and try to win a corner from that. We're playing the four if our full-backs are pushed on.
Yeah. I see Wigan have been copying you as well. Wigan started winning.
I have. It was actually taken aback when I looked at it when they went away to Arsenal. But again, you look at your squad and you're accommodating. My favourite system, as I said, was a 4-3-3.
Mm-hmm.
But the three up front moving about,
yeah,
that's my favourite position, my favourite style. But the way we play, we're two young fullbacks with discipline. If one's forward, one's back. I just felt at times we've looked just one ball and we've looked very vulnerable in attack. Yeah. So within the three, it's given us that solidity. Especially away from home, we've struggled to win away from home, and I thought we looked really solid. I know we lost at Morton, but I think that game was a game we should never have lost again. Going away to Queens and winning. So again, it's looking at the players and what's best for the team and what's the best system to play, where we look solid and not just attack all the time, and then camped out and I was playing in front of their back, you know, 9 or 10 players, and then just hitting one ball and trying to catch us in the break. So just try and drag them out as well and find wee pockets for Chris and Paul to find.
You spoke before about a footballing philosophy and how you were not, you're simply not interested in percentages and that kind of, not completely against the long ball, but against that kind of philosophy of the long ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you still absolutely stick by, or is there, you know, with having now been a year in the first division, is there a certain pragmatism?
No, I think to be honest, I think there's a lot of teams play long balls, a lot of teams don't. You know, you could argue Ross County have a good league by doing it. You know, they're a structured team, the difficulty to get when they come out, they have a structure that their back four stays a back four, and they let, you know, they play the ball up to a minimum. The wee boy Cardine's who's dangerous, gets the ball, they've got some good midfield players, and they're very dangerous set pieces. So that's their structure, that's their plenty of their strengths. Whether people like to watch that, you know, when they were here and your fans were giving them a bit of stick. But I just believe for us, I don't think we're a side here that suits when it's just in a battle, it's percentage football. I feel it's a lot harder to get the players to try and play football than it is to play percentage football. Rafa wasn't really won the league last year with doing it.
Mm-hmm.
This year they've struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's got used to how they're going to play, how they don't try to play, but they're trying to put the ball in the corner and defend, you know, set pieces that work. They work well at them, their deliveries. So for me personally, obviously I want the players here to come here and enjoy. We train, how we play, try and play passing. But obviously with our pitch this season, there's times where you can see at the back, you know, I don't like taking any chances when they pitch wee tippy-tappy balls. At times when playing too much football in front of them in the last third, when it's time to go short, when they've camped in against us. But that's where we have to try the system to change to make teams come out, so we're not just all standing between 30 yards between their goal, practically the whole team, trying to get in behind them. So, you know, we have changed it. I've got Big Mark McGuigan in as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a plan B, if you like, that we can put the ball up. We've seen that at Dundee on Saturday, how, but he can play as well. He can play, he can hold the ball up, he's got a bit of football in him. You know, along with Chris, Dylan, and Chris Daly, who can go in behind. It's having different things to our game that we can adapt. And I think we have to if we want to win this league or do well in the league, you have to be able to adapt. You know, we can't just keep playing football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll be capable. I think sometimes we'll be guilty of not shooting enough. That's frustrating me a wee bit. You know, the last third was created good opportunities. Excuse me, good opportunities, and we've looked to play that extra 1-2.
Yeah, that's something that seems. I don't know whether just every team does it. I don't know, but it doesn't seem to.
I think when you're looking at it, I said that to players before. When you're looking for the right space when there's everybody's kind of getting a back four in and it's tight and it's condensed. Like the first half against Bolton the other week, there was quite evident of that. They're getting in there and looking for it, and there's no space there. In the second half, I try to get in behind them down the sides with the wing backs and young Stewart getting a few times down at Morton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when teams are going in because they'll just one team think they might be play against you, then that's what we'll do. We'll just sit in here, we'll just make them play in front of us. So it's been able to adapt and change how we play and having a go.
The shooting thing's an interesting one. I wondered if it came from the coaches, not even necessarily yourself, maybe even the previous regime, because there seems to be like a taboo against shooting out from outside the box.
No, to be honest, it's something we've been. It's obviously it's habits. It's it's try to change that and change a lot of things. To be honest, change a lot of things about them. Even the difference with diets. That's been a major thing this year. You know, getting to the bottom of why can you be so inconsistent? If not even just the younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we've found, it's taken a while, but diet's a massive thing now.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, the lads don't get a lot of money. So they make sure they eat properly and not just stuffing themselves with rubbish.
Yeah, but it's amazing actually how far football as a sport is behind some of the other professional sports. Even a sport like rugby, which is a minority sport pretty much everywhere, every team has got a sports nutritionist.
That is, now we've seen the stuff that. Built and left up in the wall, stuff with their nutrition. They all get their different drinks to take and their diets. But
every player's different.
It's just changing mentality. It's changing, changing mentality, changing habits, changing. You know, even just the social side of things.
Mm-hmm.
The hydration after a game, which I've said to a couple of them that they've really struggled when we've played on a Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
We get to get the recovery back. You know, we went down to Queens and we played Ross County on the Tuesday, and we were well off it, well off the pace. Not just in terms of performance, you have bad games, but the performance and the energy levels, which tells me they've not eaten properly on the Sunday or the Monday. You know, we had them in training doing a meal on the Sunday after the game, but their levels of recovery are not adequate for the Tuesday, and if they want to be successful in their careers, they have to be able to adapt. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're playing European games or it being England and Championship games. It's sometimes Saturday and you're playing a Monday night.
Uh-huh.
You have to feed your body correctly, and a lot of them haven't been guilty of not doing that. That sometimes we've addressed, and hopefully we'll head start for next year.
Need to have a word with Jack and Ellie's and see if they can get in like a Holland and Barrett concession in there.
Well, we've actually got stuff in. I've been taking it myself, the kind of herbal life stuff we've got in there. Some shakes for them to sleep before they go to the train in the morning. And that. As I said, I've been doing it myself as well, changing my way I can approach my diet as well. But obviously for them it's essential. It's their bodies are machines that they need to look after properly.
So is this you telling us that after appearing as a trialist, and that are you going to be getting the boots back on for next season?
No. Dude, I enjoyed it. It was just 45 minutes. I just to be honest, I don't really, because I was feeling all right, and you know, sometimes when boys are not playing in the first team, the younger ones there think he should be in the first team. They see sometimes playing a reserve game as punishment. So I put myself out for 45 minutes and that sort of stuff, just to show that, you know, I enjoy playing football. I don't have to play. It's not punishment that you're playing. You should love going to play football, whether it be with us, when you're finished playing football, or with your pals, you know, when you're retired in 15, 20 years. You know, just to show the rest of the players, the younger ones, that, you know, that I love playing football. Don't see it as a job all the time, or as a negative that you're playing the reserve football. Just be happy you're fit and you're able to play football.
Well, speaking from the fans, I think it's when you see someone that enjoys their game, you know, you can see that they're actually enjoying themselves. Makes a big difference to how they're received, I think.
It does. I think when everything goes well in the game and you can see how the players react and the fans, and it becomes as one. I think you look at the Morton game, you know, the last sort of 10 minutes of that game, everybody in the team grew with confidence, and with all the passing, the game becomes simple. Queen and South as well, away, and obviously it's very difficult to get that every week.
Yeah,
but you know, I see how they train, and that's what frustrates me. How can they go from that to that? So basically, we've been looking at everything in terms of the mental side of it, try to get that right, try to get their diets right, give them every opportunity. So the level of consistency is there, and the fear, a lot of it is fear. The games that we've struggled with, the mental side of it is fear.
I asked Archie a question that he thought that he seemed interested in, was the difference between moving from, let's say he's played in front of 20,000 home fans at Tannadice,
mm-hmm.
and 2,000 here, and he also brought up the idea of Gerry Britton managing at Stranraer being 200,
mm-hmm.
And how individual voices in the crowd can actually affect players. And do you think, is that something, do you tell the, is there any point in telling a young player, for example, just to ignore what the fans say if they've had a bad game? Or
We try to, obviously, try just to be positive. If you let things get to you in a game, then, you know, you lose concentration.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's how you respond to it. I see them every game, everybody makes mistakes. Hundreds and hundreds of mistakes in every game.
Mm-hmm.
Even just a simple pass, they put the wrong side of your person you're passing to. There's millions of mistakes. Same with the goalkeepers, it's how you react to it. How you react to a mistake, if you go and hide, or, oh, I don't want the ball, or crowd shouting at me, or you're on at me. That's what when I kind of get angry, if you start hiding, or that's when they hear me. Because I don't, the same with players digging each other out and shouting and waving arms about and shouting and bolting him because he's made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it as a player. You know, would it be 60,000 people there flapping their arms about and pointing to you, he's made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's a team game. Yeah, as I said, there's millions of mistakes. It's, I'll be all pulling together. And I think when we have played as a team this year, we're a good side. As you've seen the weekend against Dundee, playing as a team, everybody, when somebody's out of position, somebody filling in, and that's what we have to, that's what we have to do to succeed.
Yeah.
When we haven't played in the team, that's when we look a very average side. We look poor, and that's what we have to address right from the word go next season.
Finally, who would be your player of the season?
For me, I think it's a tricky one, to be honest, for the fans. I think obviously Kearney's been fantastic, how he's went about from start to finish. You know,
big improvement as well, I think.
Big
fitness.
Fitness is key. You know, I said that to him at the start of the season. Fitness is massive for him, because last year after 60 minutes, you know, you're looking for the board to come up for him, because he'd start wrestling with people again because he couldn't get about.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he gets that second goal. He starts for the halfway line against Dundee, and he's right up there after that. He's down there, he's back and forth, and it's a massive thing. Again, a lot of that goes to diet, mm-hmm. how he's changed it, how we train him, how we got the best out of him. Young Aaron Sinclair, I think his first season coming full time.
Yeah.
I think he's only going to get better and better. He's positive. He's been, I think he's been great for us. There's wee things he still needs to improve, but he will, because he listens and he learns. I think he's made, I think Aaron made the team of the season as well with the PFA, mm-hmm. PFA, which
right.
Well, coming through Montrose. I don't know if that's been announced yet, actually.
Right, well, we've got a few days before this goes live anyway. Hopefully it'll all mix in the meantime.
And I think Archie's been essential for us as well. Again, at the back, the spine of the team, as I keep saying about the start of the season, but the spine of the team,
mm-hmm.
and it's very important, and you know, he's a big leader for us, which is why you bring him in with me and Simon, part of the coaching side of it, for the,
mm-hmm.
for the kids coming forward, and that's something that we're trying to sort out as well for the future, that the whole club structure is done properly, rather than just getting bodies in and ticking boxes,
mm-hmm.
Which...
And is when the were the troubles at Rangers in the news, finally people are talking about restructuring of the leagues a wee bit more seriously now, mm-hmm. I think. Is that something that you're interested in? Do you think that's essential for the game going forward in Scotland, or is that are you just focused on getting the best out of the players that are here?
Well, both. I think the structure is essential, not just because I'm here at Partick Thistle. I think in terms of being a player, started off firmly in the first division. You know, actually was it, I think the only time it was a playoff. We finished second in the league, and we played Aberdeen over two games. I was just a young kid at the time. I was a young kid, a young 20-year-old. And Aberdeen beat us over the two games. But even that, there was a carrot there. Now there's nothing, you know, Dundee's in second place now. And, you know, the rest of the ones, for Dundee down, that's involved in it. You know, the fans are just going to see the rest of the season. It's creating something. They need to be something to play for the fans and the players. And everybody gets to the clubs. And, you know, the SPL doesn't work. The SPL hasn't worked for years, isn't it, as an old firm player. You know, as an old firm player, I've always felt I was judged on old firm games and European games. The SPL, because you're playing each other four times, you know, the same guy you're playing against them in the following year.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes monotonous, you know each other's games, and you still have people got to watch games to see what they play when you know exactly every player and every position. And the fans get bored of it. You look at the SPL, you know, people want to watch the games. People want to go and watch you winning.
Mm.
If you're playing the real firm four times or somebody else four times, but if there's the newness about it, if it's whether it be 18 team league or 16 team, the needs change. Not just from a selfish point of view because I'm here. I just think the whole thing's is a mess.
Yeah,
and it needs to be changed because there's no reason why teams like ourselves and that can go up to the SPL and hold their own.
That's one of the most depressing things actually about Scottish football, is that you look at probably all the teams in the SFL could, you know, they would have a shot at finishing 7th,
mm-hmm.
8th in that league.
It is, it's plus, you know, the crowds would come back everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that if we can do things properly here, there's a fantastic chance for, you know, a great fan base.
Well, there's talk now of opening up the north stand for the shed. I've got to say, the boys on the Jags cast aren't happy about this because apparently it means we'll be shooting the other way. That's the word on the street, is mm-hmm. that then we'll be shooting the other way in the second half, and then we'll have to change where our season tickets are.
Right.
So we're not happy about this. So mm-hmm. campaign to stop that starts here.
It's one of the only you can't please everybody. No, I think, say for our fans and for other fans in the first division, you know, there's, you know, teams that are going for it, teams that can't afford to. They've maybe went for it in the past. Maybe mm-hmm. we've maybe been guilty of that, and we've really suffered over the last sort of year and a bit because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in a good financial structure, good people behind the scenes, make sure that the club's not any problems moving forward. And if we can do things properly, it's taking us forward, you know, and build it up, you know, a good feeling that we can go and do well.
That's brilliant. All the best for the last couple of games of the season. Are you going to be wearing an Archie mask on Saturday?
On the bench, maybe. If he scores, I will.
Well, we reckon he hardly ever scores, except when he scores two, so we're hoping for
a
2-0 victory.
Well, he's been up for corners. he's been up for corners of late, so hopefully he can put his head in one of them.
Well, he hadn't taken them, in swinging into the... You know, like Chick Shanley trying to score from a corner.
That's one of the other things that depressed me this year, is set pieces for our, not just against us, but for us. I think we've scored three for a corner. And one was Kenny Duker for us.
That's right, I was at that game. Yeah.
And the other one was, in fact, four. Kenny with a short corner against Morton. Two were against here, against Livy, in 2-1 game. And one was Sean Welsh.
That was the one against Morton was the worst code for short corner I've ever seen. If that's what it was, down to tie the lace. Kenny goes up, who was it? Somebody goes down to tie the lace, Kenny goes up and taps him on the shoulder. And that's, it looks like that's the same.
Well, that was, must have made up with him then. That was there, that's not something we planned.
Well, I've seen him do it since.
No, maybe he's did
maybe
it.
Just
he's
did days
it.
Later.
Maybe he just does it off his cell, but he done one short corner against Livingston. When the pitch is terrible, he lays out to them, end up losing a goal for it. We were 1-0 up, they scrambled over the line with a hell keep that was for corner.
Yeah, that's right. And that was me getting to be a fan of short corners as well, because I thought, well, at least we keep possession. But yeah.
Archie Ball, running down the wing. Archie Ball, wants to swing him in. Where's number three? What is he called? Archie Ball.
Oh, Kerry, you're a dick. Can't believe you were going to press stop before I said Mabbit.
That's professional.
Kerry probably trying to edit that now.